It is an awesome privilege to be with you in this series called Getting to Know Your Bible. We're in the third lesson. It's called How Was the Bible Developed and Protected Continued? Because we're picking up where we left off last week in as we were discussing how our Bible was developed and protected. Now, just a quick review of the things we learned in last week's lesson. We learned that the time covered in the book of Genesis, just the book of Genesis by itself, was 2,352 lunar years. And that information comes from the context in the book of Genesis that starts with the creation of Adam and goes through the death of Joseph. That time period was 37% of all the time that has expired since the creation of Adam until today when I'm delivering this lesson in the year 2022. We also learned, and it wasn't in your notes, but we covered it in class. We discovered that the seeds of the nine main themes in the Bible were first planted in Genesis chapters 1 through 15. Now, those nine themes were God, the Lord, the Spirit, man, angels, sin, salvation, Israel, and the church. The Lord will address these themes repeatedly all the way through the Bible, repeating the stories, in fact, give us all the information that we will ever need to know about these themes and what God wants us to know about them. Now, all the other themes that we know about, that we talk about from time to time, and many preachers talk about, all fall under one of these themes as a sub-theme, and sometimes a sub-sub-theme or sub-sub-sub-theme. But those seeds will be planted and developed along the way as these major nine themes are developed throughout the entire Bible. We discovered also that the men whom the Lord used to actually write the Bible, the Word of God on paper, and we discovered who those were all the way from Genesis through the book of Revelation. We also discovered that the Lord dictated to Moses the information in Genesis and Leviticus. We discovered that Exodus was Moses' eyewitness record of his interaction with the Lord and his life with the nation of Israel. And from that, at the end of the lesson, we discovered that the first year out of Egypt, it was time for the tabernacle complex to be put together on Nisan the first. And on that day, Moses put the written original scrolls of Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus in the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Testimony, and then he placed it in the Holy of Holies behind the veil. Here is that chart that was presented in last week's lesson, but it wasn't in the notes. And it was a visual to show just how the timing of the setup of the tabernacle complex occurred. The nation of Israel stepped out of Israel on Nisan the 15th. For 3 months, or 90 days, they were on their journey to Mount Sinai. They arrived at Mount Sinai 90 days after leaving. Then for the next 9 months, they were there and they stayed at Mount Sinai and the construction of the tabernacle complex occurred. Then, 14 days short of a full year, we come up to Nisan the 1st. You see, they left on Nisan the 15th and now it's Nisan the 1st of the following year. Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus are completed, and it is the day to set up the tabernacle. Number 10, we noted that when placing the three books in the ark, the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy would not be recorded and completed by Moses for another 38 to 39 years. We ended the lesson by asking two questions. What is the significance of the three books being placed in the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Testament? And who protected the books through the years? And I placed here the caretakers. Who were the caretakers? So we must answer that question. What is the significance? And the significance is twofold. First of all, the significance is in the Lord's name of the ark. Without the books of the Word of God, the ark was just a box. Oh yes, the Lord would still have hovered over in His Shekinah glory above the mercy seat lid that was on top of the box. That would have surely happened. The Lord would indeed not have named the ark of the covenant, or the ark of the testimony, if the covenant and the testimony was not inside the ark of the covenant or the ark of the testimony. The ark was named after its contents. The covenant or the testimony of the Word of God, Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. Second, the significance is in the caretakers of the ark. The only caretakers of the ark of the covenant were the priests, who were directly descended from Aaron, a very, very small group of men. Once the books of Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus were in the ark of the covenant, they were securely protected three ways. Number one, by the Lord. Number two, by the high priest, and by the tabernacle priest. Here is the development of the protocol for the protecting of the Word of God in the Ark of the Covenant, or the testimony, as revealed by the Lord in Scripture. Let me tell you this, the story. After arriving at Mount Sinai, 90 days after leaving Egypt, the Lord instructed Moses to have the people wash and put on their finest clean clothes and come to the foot of the mountain. In Exodus chapter 20, the people are at the foot of the mountain in their clean clothes, and they hear the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, giving them the Ten Commandments. They hear God's voice. Now in Exodus chapter 21 through 23, the Lord gives the instruction for how to live under and within these Ten Commandments, the laws of these Ten Commandments. And in Exodus chapter 24, the people of the nation of Israel all accept the commandments and the covenant with the Lord. Then in Exodus chapter 25 through 30, the Lord has Moses go back up on Mount Sinai for 40 days. And on the mount, the Lord details for Moses the plans for the constructions of the tabernacle complex, including all the furniture, all the fixtures, all the offerings, so that he can build the complex. Not only did the Lord give to Moses the details, he actually showed Moses what was already in heaven so that Moses could see and measure and draw out what the Lord was showing him that already existed in heaven. So don't be surprised when you get to heaven, you're going to see this tabernacle complex with all its furniture, fixtures, the offerings, the way the offerings were to be done, the building of the complex, the oils, the clothing, and everything, the robes, everything is there. It is all duplicated, and earth has the copy. The original is in heaven. Now in chapter 31, while on the mountain for 40 days, the Lord tells Moses to put a skillful craftsman by the name of, catch this, Bezalel was his name, in charge of the complex build. Moses comes down off the mountain and puts Bezalel in charge. Bezalel is from the tribe of Judah. Now here's an important point. All the 12 tribes will contribute from what they brought out of Egypt to build and participate in the constructing of everything that is to be in the tabernacle complex. Is that men and women from every tribe of Israel, every tribe, touched everything constructed for the tabernacle complex. They all knew they were making it. Even those things which were in the holiest of holy things to the Lord were touched by people who made them of the 12 tribes. Bezalel started the project, taking less than 8 months to complete, probably truly less than 6 months, but we're safe saying less than 8 months. After all the instructions from the Lord, the offering is to be taken. Bezali, along with Aholiah, assigns the jobs and puts the people to work building the complex from every tribe of Israel. Now, once everything for the tabernacle complex is complete, or completed by the hands of the Israelites from all the 12 tribes, the rules are about to change forever. And these rules that are about to change forever are concerning who can touch these items. On the first day of the first month of the second year, that's Nisan the first of the second year after they came out of Egypt on the 15th month of that month of Nisan, once the tabernacle complex is complete, it is going to be dedicated and consecrated by Moses according to the Lord's instructions. And from then on, only the tribe of Levi can touch the items. Now remember, Moses was of the tribe of Levi. So he was already in line to be able. In fact, Moses could have been the high priest. But instead, the Lord selected Moses' brother, Aaron, to be the high priest. Okay. To top all that off, not every Levite can touch every part of the tabernacle complex. The Lord's instruction for the dedication and consecration of the tabernacle complexes are in Exodus chapter 29 and chapter 40, Leviticus 8 through 9, and Numbers 3 through 4. Numbers 3 through 4 tells us which Levites can touch which parts of the tabernacle complex and still be safe from the wrath of the Lord. No one could touch the tabernacle items without facing the wrath of the Lord's decree of death, immediate death, except for those who were specifically assigned to those items. The ones who could touch them were all Levites, but here we have the details about which Levites could touch which items from Numbers chapter 3, and chapter number 4. Levi, the son of Jacob, whose name is going to be changed to Israel, had three sons whose names were Kohath, Merari, and Gershom. These three families, the Kohathites, the Merarites, and the Gershites, made up the entire tribe of Levi living with Moses at the time. The whole tribe had males from 30 to 50 years old, which, by the way, is the time that a person can serve as a priest, except for the high priest. He'll be able to serve past the age of 50, but a priest could only become a priest at the age of 30. He started his training at 25, and he had to stop being a priest at the age of 50. Now, after 50, he could assist, but he could no longer be a priest doing the main duty of the work. The Kohathites had 8,600 men. The Gershonites had 7,500 men, and the Merarites had 6,200 men. Now note, the sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, Uzeli, and Abinadad. That was the sons. Now, here's the important thing. Aaron was a Kohath through Amram, the first son of the grandson of Levi, through Kohath. And the Lord chose the descendants of Aaron to be the high priest forever and helper priest at the tabernacle complex. Now, once this tabernacle complex was dedicated, only the descendants of Aaron could touch these items: the Ark of the Covenant, the veil, the table of showbread, the lampstand, the snuffers, the oil vessels, the utensils, the golden altar, the forks, the shovels, the pans, and the basins. When it was time to move from camp to camp to camp, the descendants of Aaron, get this, the descendants of Aaron, now what I'm talking about, these things I've just named, are all things that are inside the tent of meeting, inside the tabernacle, that could only be seen by the priest who had the authority to go into what was called the holy place. and to maintain these items and to use these items. So when it was time to move, the descendants of Aaron packed these items up, covering them fully according to the instruction of the Lord. That is there in Numbers chapter 3 and chapter 4. Then once covered, the rest of the Kohaths, who were not high priests, that means they were descendants of some of the other sons that were not of Amram, they could come in and they would carry these items. Remember, these items have been totally covered. In fact, they're even waterproofed. They've got pauper skins on there and they are tied off. So once they're ready to be taken out, then these other relatives of the line of Aaron of Kohath, they could come in and carry these items to the following location and leave them packed to be unpacked by the same priest of Aaron, descendants of Aaron, the priest, to be unpacked and taken into the Holy of Holies places and to be unpacked and put back to use. Excluding Aaron's descendants, the Kohaths were forbidden from entering the tabernacle proper. They couldn't go through the door into the holy place. They couldn't go through at one time a year back into the Holy of Holies. They couldn't go past the veil. They could not see these items. If anyone besides the descendants of Aaron entered the sacred places to see those items, they would immediately die. Numbers chapter 4, verse number 20. Now, once all the holy items were packed and out of view, under the packing, they're out of view under the packing, the Gershites, got this? The Gershites could then come in and they could pack up the curtains, the tents, the meetings, the screens, the doorways, the cords, and all the equipment. That's in Numbers chapter 4. And at the same time, they're gathering everything up because, look, the holy items are all under pauper skins and they're sitting over here ready to be moved. Now the tents, the curtains, and everything can come down. And at the same time that the Gershites are moving all those items, the Moraites are carrying the big things, the pillars, the sockets, the pegs, the battens, the boards, the cords, and all the rest of the equipment. That's also there in Numbers chapter 4. So there, everything's down, and by the way, they could do this very quickly. Everything's down, it is time to move out. The descendants of Aaron could touch everything that every other person could touch of the Levites. However, those other three groups could only touch the assigned items or they would immediately die. Therefore, if any of the other members of any of the other tribes touched any of the other items, you got it, they would immediately die. Numbers chapter 4. Finally, because the books of Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus were placed in the Ark of the Covenant with the two tablets of the Ten Commandments, the descendants of Aaron, the priest in his line, were responsible for the protection of the books because they were the protectors of the Ark of the Covenant and of the tabernacle complex. So we've got it. The priest in the line of Aaron are the protectors of the Word of God. So to continue the story, just because we can, Moses and Aaron followed the Lord and led the nation of Israel away from Mount Sinai 13 months after leaving Egypt, and they headed towards the Promised Land. And even Moses did not know at that time that the disaster was about to happen when the 12 spies returned from the with a report from the Promised Land, and the nation of Israel would rebel against the Lord, and they would also rebel against the leadership of Moses. And it would take them a full year to get back to Mount Sinai, where they would live for another 38 years until everyone who rebelled against the Lord and Moses had died. Then Moses and Aaron followed the Lord and led that new generation of young folks who were all under 20 years of age when all that debacle happened away from Mount Sinai for the second time. Aaron would die on the journey and his son would take his place. Finally, on the plains of Moab, just across the Jordan River from the city of Jericho, the nation of Israel sat ready to enter the promised land. Moses had recorded all the events of the past 39 years, basically in the book of Numbers. In the previous 30 days, Moses had received and retold the law in the book of Deuteronomy, according to the Lord's instruction to him. So upon completion of the writings of the book of Deuteronomy and Numbers, and he read them to the entire nation, this is what Moses did. So Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priest. Deuteronomy 31:9. Continuing in that very same passage, Moses said, "Take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may remain there." Deuteronomy 31:26. A full 38 years, really 39, but a full 38, after Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus were placed inside the Ark of the Covenant, Numbers and Deuteronomy were placed there by the Ark. Eventually, they will go inside the Ark, by the way. So the Ark of the Covenant was kept behind the veil in the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies. There, the books of Genesis through Deuteronomy were secure under, get this, the watchful presence of the Shekinah glory of the Lord. That's the visible glowing cloud that represented the presence of the Lord hovering over the mercy seat lid on the Ark of the Covenant. Only the high priest could access these documents once every 7 years, the sabbatical year. At the time when they were to be taken and read in the presence of all the people in the nation of Israel. Until 586 BC, the original writings of all the completed books of the Bible were placed in the care of the priest in the tabernacle. Later, during the days of Solomon, the temple was built to be a permanent house for the Ark of the Covenant. As the new books were written, the originals of those following books were kept by the priest of Aaron's line in the tabernacle, or in the temple, and those books were Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, Job, most of the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, and Micah. Now the rest of the books of the Old Testament will be brought back with the exiles and the priest by the name of Ezra, he's a descendant of Aaron, who will protect them and ultimately place them in the rebuilt temple behind the veil. But get this, by that time there is no Ark of the Covenant because Jeremiah hid that Ark of the Covenant before the fall of Jerusalem back in 586 BC. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant was not present in the temple when Jesus was alive. It had never been in the rebuilt temple after they came back from exile. So we come to this question. If the Ark of the Covenant was hidden by Jeremiah and the Scripture was no longer available to be taken out and read every 7 years, how do we know that we are reading the Word of God that had been stored and protected in the Ark? Well, the answer is actually found in Deuteronomy and in Joshua, and it has to do with the national meeting at Mount Ebal and the installation of the sabbatical year and the establishment of the 48 Levitical cities. Upon ever entering the Promised Land, the Lord and Moses had instructed Joshua to take the people to Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, read the books to the nation that were stored in the Ark, and copied the text on the plaster that they were instructed to paint the altar stones with. And that happens in Deuteronomy 27:28 and Joshua chapter 8. Here we have the record of the copy of these books penned by Moses for the very first time. It just so happens that that year that Joshua led the nation to Mount Ebal, the copies of the books, that was a sabbatical year. That was previously unknown to man, but strictly adhered to by the Lord in His work since creation. The Scripture says, Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord and the God of Israel in Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel. He wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the sons of Israel. Okay, as the nation of Israel continues to capture the promised land, 48 Levitical cities are set up in the promised land, four in each tribal area, and they are established as Levitical cities so that the people could bring their offerings to the Lord there instead of traveling all the way to Shiloh, which was a long way away. And these Levite families were forbidden to own land. So because of that, there had to be offerings. They couldn't own crops. They couldn't own anything. And they were to live in donated houses because they're the priestly line. In other words, these offerings were to pay for the regular sacrifices required by the Lord and the welfare of the Levite people. It was their paychecks. The Levites and their families lived in these Levitical cities, and every sabbatical year, the priests of every Levitical city were required to gather the people and read the books of Moses to them so they would be without excuse concerning the law of the Lord. To do so, each Levitical city had copies of the books of Moses. Now, the originals of these books were still stored in the Ark of the Covenant over in Shiloh as long as the Ark was there in that location or wherever the Ark was. Thus, copies of the copies of the copies began to be made and will be made in great volumes from then on. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, discovered in a cave in 1947, we have one copy from the time of Solomon that matches perfectly all the much newer copies that our Bibles were translated from into all the different languages, including English. Now we need to address the importance of the sabbatical year, but that will have to wait until our next lesson in Getting to Know Your Bible. Lesson number 4, we will start with the importance of the sabbatical year.